to Hebrews, the 11th chapter. We're going to read a few verses there, very few, just three to start with. Hebrews, 11th chapter. We're in a real battle, saints, and the battle is over the faith. Hebrews 11th chapter, verse 1 says this, "Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which do appear." As I said earlier, we are in a very much in a spiritual battle today. And the battle, I repeat, is over the faith. We read the scripture in Ephesians 6 and 12. It says this, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places." Another translation says it just like this, "For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, amen, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places." This is what the struggle is over. The faith. Jude said this. He said in Jude 1 and 3, "Beloved, when I give all diligence to write unto you the common salvation, it was needful for me to write unto you and exhort you, you should earnestly contend for the faith, which was once delivered unto the saints." Amen. To contend means to labor fervently. It means to fight. Amen. To compete for a prize. Paul, in the closing out of his life, said he fought. He fought what? For the faith. We read in 2 Timothy 4 and 7, Paul writes this, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." Somebody said, how did he fight? Well, he tells us, he didn't fight carnally, but mightily through God. 1 Corinthians 15 chapter, verse 32 says this, "If after the manner of men I have fought with beasts at Ephesus, what advantageth it me if the dead rise not? Let us eat and drink, for tomorrow we die." He did not fight in the ring as a gladiator. Amen. He didn't go around carrying a sword to fight. Amen. Here he's talking about men who are as savage as wild beasts would be. To be a Christian and to stay a Christian, one must be a fighter. Amen. Not carnally, not with fisticuffs. Amen. Amen. He must get some backbone to stand up. Amen. And have faith that will not quit. There's an all-out attack. Amen. And the saints of God. And let me tell you this morning, church, if you haven't got what it takes to finish, then you need it. And you need to get it, because the enemy, amen, is not going to leave us alone. That's a big reason why so many throw in the towel. Why? They can't take the hassle of being a Christian. Just because you become a Christian, there's no sign everything's just going to run smooth. It's no sign the battle is over. But rather, really, you're just in a position to fight. Amen. The The real fight happens when you change sides. When you leave one kingdom, amen, and translate it into the other, amen, you've just begun and you've got a real fight on your hands. Paul said it this way in Colossians, the first chapter, one verse in verse 13. He said this, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness? And let me remind you, darkness has lots of power. And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son. Amen. Otherwise, it's saying he rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved son. Faith. Faith that will not quit. It burdens me when I see people hit an altar and there's no change. It also burdens me to see someone hit an altar and last a week, maybe 2 weeks. Some will do real good, go a month maybe. Something always comes down the highway, amen, and next thing you know, trips them up. Next thing you know, amen, they cower down and say they might just like the children of Israel did. Amen, when the spies come back with their report, said, would to God we stayed in Egypt. Amen, stayed in Egypt. Even Joshua, when he got beat at Ai, amen, would to God we stayed on the other side of Jordan. Amen, you need to get a backbone. Amen, as a Christian, you need to get a spiritual backbone. What? There's going to be things come your way. Things you didn't even expect. Things you didn't even think that the enemy would work on. It's going to work. Amen. But you need to keep your faith in Almighty God. 1 Samuel, the 4th chapter, you don't have to turn there. I'll just highlight the chapter a little bit. It starts out, there was a battle. A real raging battle between Israel of old and the Philistines. The elders of Israel, they had got whipped. Amen, Israel got whipped, so they decided, they sent for the ark. The ark was at Shiloh, and they brought it back in the camp. Amen. The ark was brought back there, amen, with shouting, and the scripture says, the earth began to ring again. Otherwise, there was thoughts of victory, thoughts of we can't lose now. They got the ark back in the camp. One shouted and praised God. God was back in the midst. Amen. And when the Philistines heard the shouting, they kind of questioned, what meaneth the noise of this great shout in the camp of the Hebrews? Then they understood the ark of the Lord was back in the camp. Amen. And the Philistines were afraid. If you get down there in verse number 7, they were afraid, for they said, God has come unto us. And they said, woe unto us, for there has not been such a thing heretofore. Otherwise, they took it for granted, as well as the Israelites, that his presence was inseparable from his ark or from his shrine. Amen. Now fear came. Fear came to the Philistines. Amen. They figured their fight now was going to be with God himself. And they knew nobody could whip God. They were afraid. So when they went out to battle, they were encouraged by their leader to fight hard and don't give up. We read, you come down from the in that fourth chapter, you read in verse number 9, you hear this. Their leader is saying, be strong. He said, quit yourselves like men, O you Philistines. He said, you don't want to be servants unto the Hebrews. as they have been to you, quit yourself like men and fight. He said, quit yourselves like men. What did he mean? What did he mean, quit yourselves like men? Well, a real man, I'm talking about a real man, is known for the fact he doesn't quit. They were ready to give all that they had. And the motivator was in the middle of the camp in Israel. Normally, whenever the ark was in the midst, it meant victory over the enemy. When Joshua crossed over the Jordan, amen, the priests and the Levites carried the ark. When Israel went up against the walled city of Jericho, it was the ark that went around Jericho seven times. The ark, amen, meant, amen, God's presence in the camp. Amen. When Israel was wholeheartedly following the commandments of the Lord, the ark signified the presence of God. And you better leave them alone. He said, be strong. Quit yourselves like men, O you Philistines. They was feeling they was going to take a good whipping, but they figured, well, let's go down like a man. Let's really fight. Amen. He said, you don't want to be servants unto the Hebrews as they have been to you. Quit yourselves like men and fight. We need to remember this, children of God. We don't just give up and turn away. What? We become a servant to the devil. What did the Philistines say? You don't want to be servants to the Israelites. If you lose, we're going to be taken captive. The same is true with us when we, amen, when we quit serving God, we become a servant to the devil. Somebody said, oh, I don't do this, don't do that. Listen, my friend, you never see the inside of heaven, amen, if you don't serve God. And to serve God, you got to, amen, stay with God. Not only be born again, but you got to stay with God. People start, they struggle, they have this, they have that problem. Sure, you're going to have problems. You're not problem-free because you're saved. Amen. When you're saved, God just didn't come away and take all problems away. Now he delivers you out of sinful things, but you got to put, amen, you got to plant good seed in the ground. And that good seed has got to have a harvest. Amen. And the good seed just don't jump up the day you're saved. You got to keep planting that good seed. Amen. And then the harvest will come. Amen. There was no way the Philistines wanted to become a servant of Israel. No way. And I say we need that same determination, church. We don't want to be enslaved by the devil. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 16:13, watch ye. Stand fast in the faith. Quit ye like men. He said, be strong. Otherwise, be alert. Stand firm in the faith. Act like a man should act. There was an example after example of men and women who would not quit. They wouldn't even entertain the thought of giving up or giving in. Some people, when they have a struggle, that seems to be the first thought come to their mind. Amen. But you need to get that out of your mind. You need to keep your faith, amen, in Jesus Christ. He will deliver. Don't give in praying for once. And I know after a while you don't see anything happening. It's very tempting to switch over to something else. But see, we don't always know what's going on in that individual's life. We don't always know how God is really dealing with them. even though there's no outward signs, that's no sign God is not talking to their hearts. Don't let your faith die just because you don't get an immediate answer. The Lord could be working something that is not yet visible to you. In Matthew, the 26th chapter, we have a picture of Jesus at Gethsemane. Amen. Look at verse 36 and what verse 38 says. Verse 36 says this, "Then cometh Jesus with them unto a place called Gethsemane, and saith unto the disciples, Sit ye here while I go and pray yonder." Verse 38, "Then saith he unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with me." Amen. Amen. His will had to come in submission to the cross. In Mark 14:38, we read this. "Watch ye here and pray, lest you enter into temptation." Why? The spirit truly is ready, but the flesh is weak. How did he bring the flesh under? Not once, but three times, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior, prayed. What praying? What prayer did he pray? The same thing. Over, over again. Not once, not twice, three times. In your mind, you would probably think, well, Jesus Christ could ask one time, that'd be enough. No. He had the flesh to put under. And the flesh don't always want to be put under. Three times. Matthew 26:44. "And he left them and went away again and prayed the third time." What? Saying the same words. He didn't rephrase it to get God's attention. He said the same words. Three times. Faith that will not quit, will not give in to the pressures of the flesh. Paul sought the face of the Lord how many times? Three times, which is determined to be a thorn in the flesh. 2 Corinthians 12:8. Listen to what he says. 2 Corinthians 12:8. "For this thing I besought the Lord thrice," that's three times, "that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Otherwise, what's he saying? I'm not going to take it away. It's a weakness you got, but it's really a strength to you. My strength is made what? Perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. Instead of praying about it, I'm going to glory in it, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Let's not be a quitter, church, when we don't get an immediate answer. You remember a man by the name of Elijah? Remember him praying for rain? Well, what did James say about Elijah? There are some characteristics about Elijah we need to read about. James, the 5th chapter, James tells us what Elijah was like. He said in the 17th verse, "Elijah was a man subject to like passions as we are." Amen. Otherwise, he was a human being just like you and I. And he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. And it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. What a drought that was. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. And the earth brought forth her fruit. What was he like? Just like you and I. Amen. like passion as we are. Well, let's read a little bit about Elijah. 1 Kings, the 18th chapter, tells us a little bit about this prayer. We're going to begin reading in verse 41. Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there's a sound of abundance of rain. Now, he didn't say there's rain. He said there's a sound. It wasn't raining yet. He said, but it's coming. There's a sound of abundance of rain, not just a little shower. There's going to be abundance of rain coming. Still hadn't rained yet. Still into that drought of over 3 years. And what did he say? He said, Ahab, you better get up. Get your eating and drinking done. Well, you need to get out of here. Well, there's just a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink. He did what he said. And Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself upon the earth and put his face between his knees. And said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there's nothing. He said, go again. 7 times. And it came to pass at the 7th time, he said, behold, there arises not just a cloud, just a little cloud. Amen. Out of the sea, like a man's hand. At least it's like a man's hand. And he said, go up. Say unto Ahab, prepare the chariot, get ready. Get thee down. Amen. That the rain stop thee not. Otherwise, the roads are going to be flooded. You better hurry up and get out of here. And it came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. And Ahab rode and went to Jezreel. And the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. He girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. Amen. While Ahab went off to eat and drink, Elijah went off to pray. His prayer was in earnest, having his servant look 7 times. You got to remember now, he told Ahab, I hear the sound of abundance of rain. But it hadn't rained yet. Amen. And he had to send his servants 7 times. Why? His faith would not quit. Not just once, twice. 3 times, go 7 times. Well, his servant comes back and says, well, he probably said, Master, he said, I don't see nothing but a little cloud out there over the sea. It's about the size of a man's hand. He said, now, Ab, get up, get the chariot, and get up, get it moving. Amen. Why? This abundance of rain is going to come now. Amen. The prayer was divine, but so wasn't Elijah's running divine. Amen. Luke, the 18th chapter, verse 1. Luke 18 and 1. He spake a parable unto them to this end, that men ought always to pray, not to faint. Don't pray just when you feel like praying, because there's going to be plenty of times you're not going to feel like praying. There's going to be a lot of time you're going to be pressed for time. There's going to be a lot of things happening in your life. But you always, amen, but you never want to lay aside prayer. Well, always keep prayer as a priority your life. Men ought always to pray and not to faint. What's that tell you? You stop praying, you start fainting. Saying there was in the city a judge which feared not God, neither regarded man. And there was a widow in that city, and she came unto him, saying, Avenge me of mine adversary. And he would not for a while. But afterward he said within himself, Though I fear not God, nor regard man, yet because this widow troubles me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming, otherwise she worry me or wears me out. And the Lord said, Hear, amen, hear what the unjust judge saith. Shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he avenges them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? What kind of faith? Faith that will not quit. Judge feared not God, nor did he regard man. The widow who troubled him and wearied him kept coming, and amen, he's not a godly man, and no doubt he's getting upset, but that don't stop her. She comes up and raps on the door. She continually keeps coming. He sends her away. No doubt he gets a little bit loud in his voice, saying, Get out of here. He didn't regard God. He didn't regard the person of an individual. Amen. But she kept coming. Next thing you know, he's tired of it. Okay, I'll take care of it. Just get rid of her. Amen. Troubled him, wearied him. Verse 6 says, And the Lord said, Hear what the unjust judge saith. What did the unjust saith? Verse 5, Yet because this widow troubleth me, I'll avenge her, lest her continue coming, she worry me. The faith that the widow had was, she would not take no for an answer. She wouldn't take being ignored. No doubt he ignored her. No doubt he might have slammed the window or the door in her face, being upset. She wouldn't take that as a final answer. Just kept coming. Well, look at the comparison of the widow and us. Now let's compare it. The judge was unjust, and our judge is just. Amen. And Jesus said that God would avenge us speedily. Amen. Psalm 66:19. For verily God hath heard me, he hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Faith, a firm conviction, persuasion in God. Let's not give in, church, to the flesh. And let's let not the flesh have its way, but rather pray as Jesus did. What? Not necessarily you have to go all night, not necessarily like Jesus had to do at Gethsemane, but let's pray as Jesus did till the will of God is foremost in our life. There's where Jesus had to come to. What's that tell you? Jesus had a will too. That's why the enemy tempted him. Amen. Let's not have the faith that quits over the first time something goes wrong. First time somebody says something against you. Amen. And you get hurt. And I know when somebody from the church says something against you, amen, it's very hurtful. Amen. You know what you want to do? Pray for those individuals. Pray for them. When I worked at Rockwell, I told you I had a terrible smoking habit. When I got saved, God gloriously saved me from that. But I can remember working on a machine, and I've told this here before, and I walked away, go to the restroom, come back to my machine, my toolbox was laying there. On top of the lid of my toolbox was a cigarette. the kind that I smoked, just laying there staring at me as I come back. And off to my left, I could look down the line and see the guys kind of looking to see what I was going to do. You know what that did to me? It showed me beyond a shadow of a doubt I had something that the devil wanted. So I picked the little cigarette up, crumbled it in my hand, took it over, and threw it in the waste paper basket, and took away all their glory and all their thrill, and went back to the machine. And I was rejoicing. In my soul, I was happy. Amen. That God, amen, counted me worthy to have that temptation.
Right, amen.
Amen. There's going to be people who's going to say things about you. My, that's, hey, what prophet didn't they run down? What disciple didn't they run down? Didn't they call Jesus Beelzebub? That's quite a strong name to call somebody. Called him Beelzebub, otherwise the head of the demons and the devils. Amen. Let's not have the faith that quits. Or the first time something goes wrong, something doesn't work out. Amen. Quit. Don't do that. Maybe you, let me just use an example. Maybe you was a smoker. Maybe when you got saved, you have a real, real struggle. Not everybody does, but some do. And you slip up. You smoke a cigarette. Amen. Don't be a quitter. Why? You go back to the world, you'll be back full bore. Keep being a fighter. It don't have to be tobacco. It could be anything. It could be anything. It could be alcohol. It could be drugs. Drugs are very prevalent today, even amongst the little guys in school. Amen. And that's not an easy thing to overcome. Amen. You may struggle. You may even fall, but have the backbone to get back up again. Why? By giving in, amen, you're going to go right back in and it's going to be worse than it was before. Don't be a quitter. Maybe you had a big mouth. Maybe you slip up. Amen. Even after you're saved, God will forgive you. God will forgive you. Don't quit trying to overcome it. Stay right in there. Have faith. Don't quit. Maybe you don't understand things. Stay in the service. Maybe you don't even understand the standard. Amen. Maybe you don't. But stay right there. Stay right there. Don't be a quitter. Amen. You might be in the midst of a severe trial, and saints are being tried, and you can't see any way out. So you figure in your mind, the devil's telling your mind, well, you might as well just give in to it. Don't do it. Don't do it. Remember now, Paul prayed three times over the same affliction. Jesus prayed three times over the same prayer. You might stay in a trial a while longer, but God will be faithful to you, and he'll be on time for you to deliver you. You could be struggling to overcome a certain thing that tempts you, and once in a while you struggle so much, you fall. We're not advocating sinning, but if there are people that are weak, we have to own that. Well, don't give up the fight completely. Overcome it. Would you rather be an overcomer, amen, than one who, amen, gets overcome all the time? If it's an inward thing, my advice is not to be around somebody who has the same problem. Watch who you run around with. Watch those negative people that's always against the standard. And if you're having trouble with it yourself, that's not the people to hang around. If someone is battling unforgiveness or fighting an attitude, don't be around them. Why? It'll rub off on you if you're weak along that line. Someone is battling an attitude or unforgiveness, don't sympathize with them, or you'll be in the same condition as they are. We're in a real, real battle, saints. And that battle is not going to get... I wish I could tell you that things were going to smooth out, but I see we're in the last days of Armageddon. I believe the heat has turned up. We're seeing a unity today like I've never seen before, trying to go forth amongst churches. And we might get into some of that tonight. Amen. But we're in a battle. It's not going to let up. But we can overcome it. And we can, amen, go home in glory if we obey God's word. Now we know the Philistines, when they came out again, even after the ark, they still whipped Israel. Why? Because Israel was in disobedience. And God was not in the ark. There's a lot of people like to have the symbol of God without having God himself. But let's have faith this morning, church. And I'm getting ready to close. Let's have faith this morning that we're not going to give up. We're not going to quit. Amen. There's a lot of things in this life we have to face. Some of them we face over and over again. Other times there's things we haven't, amen, seen before. But nevertheless, set your face like a flint towards Jerusalem. Amen. Stay right there. Have faith that will not quit. Amen. Example after example after example of men that were tried beyond human comprehension. And they stayed true to God. And God wrote their names down in Hebrews 11th chapter. Amen. Men who went through things will never have to go through. But nevertheless, they stayed true. How about it this morning as we close? If your faith is weak, amen, you struggle. Then I would beseech you to do something about it. Have people pray with you. Have people lay hands on you. Do something to encourage you. Get your faith built back up. Why? You're going to need it. And if you stay true to God, God will bring you through with victory. Guaranteed victory with Jesus Christ. Let us stand. Sing a verse if you have a need.